Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, listen to me.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, yes, you can be heard, Brother Miles.
All right, amen. Thank you. Okay, Sister Mary, what was the last, do you know what date the last business meeting you sent to me, the minute?
July 6th.
July 6th?
Yeah.
Okay, let me check that. Find those. I thought there was one after that. Or no. I think maybe the 13th. We had a meeting, but we didn't have enough people, right?
Right.
Okay. So let me get into my email. Okay, you sent me one on July 12th as well.
Right.
But it's for the 6th. Okay.
Oh, it's the 13th, right.
Okay, so let me print this. And right now my wife is looking for a new printer, so I may have to take a call from her. While we're in this meeting, okay, document. Okay, since I don't remember reading these, yeah, I do remember reading these. I thought I had already saved these and we had corrected them. Okay, let me print this, or let me upload this, Sister Mary, you can just read it from the screen. Now that you have your copy available.
Okay, well, what date do you have?
I have the 6th of July.
Okay.
So let me even see if I even uploaded that already here. File. Next one. No, the last ones I uploaded here were June 15th. Okay, so let me upload these right here. There they go. There it is. Okay. How is the weather where you both at?
Well, now it's 89 degrees. It was 100.
Well, that's bearable, at least. Was it 100 today?
Yeah.
Oh. The sun went down.
Well, it ain't totally went down.
Oh, but it cooled off?
A little bit.
Okay. Hey, man, we're still at 109. I think the high is 113 today.
Oh,
I thought we was hot.
Yeah, no, we've been 30 days over 110. But I think half a month over 115. Okay, so there's a minute.
I'm complaining about the 90 then.
Well, you know, it's all relative. It's hot as hot no matter where you're at.
Right.
Yeah, no matter where you're at.
It's raining.
All right, so let me pull up Blog Talk Radio. Oh, man, I've got too many screens open. Where does that go? Blog Talk Radio icon at. There it is. All right, so right now it's 3. My wife is in the store shopping. Brother Gary, Sister Rachel, Sister Claire, nobody else is on. We're going to go ahead and proceed because we need to handle business. And let me turn this fan off in the background. Can you guys hear that fan?
No, I can't.
Okay. Then maybe it's just me. It's bugging me. All right. So I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and bring this meeting into order. Do I have a second?
I second.
Sure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Let us pray in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we ask that you would be a part of this meeting and that you would guide us in the way that we should go. In your sure homicide precious name. Amen. And amen. We're going to go ahead and, Sister Mary, if you go ahead and read the minute.
Okay. Our last minute was July 6th, 2023. We started at 7 p.m. and we ended at 9, I think it's 9:15, 9:30, 9:10. I can't see it because your name is in front of me. But it's
move my name.
9:15. Attend this other meeting with Brother Miles, Sister Miles, Sister Mary, and Sister Rachel. The discussion of the meeting was the microphone. Because of the heat, the microphone has to be rewarded 3 times as much. After this week, the salad mix and the red cabbage will not be sold. Some plants are not germinating. They will be taken off the list. The sunflowers, the sweet pea, the wheatgrass, I think those are the ones he's taking off. Friday, sell Friday black cat ID. After Friday's market, there will be 4 more Friday markets. The Wednesday market will start in August. This is a once-a-month market. The radishes and the fenugreek are not selling. USDA. Taylor is contacting different owners and shelves to see if they'll be interested in buying microphones. The grants are behind in process. Taylor and Brother Miles are looking into 2 other grants. Brother Miles and Taylor may start going to some community meetings. So there'll be someone of color to represent black farmers. Brother Miles, this is in parentheses, Brother Miles, be careful.
Amen.
The grant we applied for, Kayla sending Brother Miles links for them. And also she's showing him other grants, file hall. Section 12.01 to 12.16 is tabled for now. That's all I have, Brother Miles.
Okay, I'll make corrections to this, like the Friday and that kind of stuff.
Okay, I appreciate it. No, it's still crazy.
And then I'll...
My bad.
No worries. Okay, so let me bring up the screen so I can see them and let me give updates. So, update to this. What I've done is reverse the process for growing. I don't use any light right now during the day. I used to, you know, put them on as a microgreens up under the light almost 20 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
But the lights themselves and this heat, typically the LED lights don't really generate a lot of heat. They contribute to the heat in the grow room. And so with it being over 110, being 113, 115 degrees, inside of that room, the actual grow room can be over 100 degrees. And even with the AC on, the AC just cannot, you know, even with two ACs in there, because the room is all glass, all windows, even though I got dark screens on there, the AC cannot cool down 115 degrees. Can't bring it down into the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or even the 90s. And so the sun here is intense and the room gets very hot, you know, on the second half of the day. That was affecting germination, which is getting too hot for a lot of the seeds to germinate because they have a germination temperature between so-and-so and so-and-so. And they were, I think, 85 is like the highest. And so the room was exceeding that temperature, and those seeds just wouldn't germinate. So what I did was I put everything inside of the grow tent, and if the room outside was 100 plus degrees, then when you add that, the light to it, then inside of those grow rooms, even though they were AC, they would still be over 100 degrees, and this would cause the plants to fail. So what I did was I said, okay, I'm not going to have the light competing with the heat that's already there. So I don't turn on the light at all during the day, and that has kept the, you know, allowed the AC to keep the rooms cool enough to where I got germination on everything. I tried, you know, the cabbage, the radish, the sunflower, everything that we were having to fail. I tried it on those and got a successful germination and got a successful crop growing right now. And when I will turn on the light, it's only on the days. Only reason that I really need the light is either to make the plants grow thicker, to make them produce chlorophyll to green up, okay? And so what I've decided to do is not run the light and grow the plant just about completely in the dark for the first 4 or 5 days. And then on the sixth day, expose them to the light only at night for a couple of hours, and that causes them to turn green because the leaves are typically yellow from no sunlight, and the grass, you know, will be yellow or light, very light green until you put lights on them, and then they turn dark green to start creating chlorophyll. So that seems to be the formula that works for the most of the plants, is that just not turn on the grow lights and have them under any lights at all. Let them grow completely in the dark and keep them as cool as possible. And then the last 2 or 3 days, then turn on the light for a few hours to allow them to green up. And then, you know, then by that time I'm ready to go to the market with them. So that seems to be working right now. And the sunflowers, the radishes, the cabbages, the salad mix, everything seems to work with that formula. So that's what I'm doing this week. Last week I had a successful crop without light, only put them up under the light for a few hours a day, and it worked out, and so I continued that process, and so that's the way that we will try to get through the rest of the summer. I think tomorrow is the last Friday market. There might be one more, but I think tomorrow is the last one for the summer. They won't, this market on Fridays won't start again until September. It will still be hot in September here. It doesn't usually start to cool off until October. So we still got some months of heat going on, but the weekly market won't be running the month of August, and there's only going to be one market. That's going to be on a Wednesday, one time in August, and then we will start back up every Friday in September. So flyers and things like that to people and telling them that, you know, if they want microgreens in August, then we will deliver to them. I don't really want them coming by my house, but we'll deliver to them if they want them, and there are those that are interested in that. That we go that way, and then I'm looking at other markets as well. As far as the land goes, we're going to need to come together as a group, and, you know, I can't continue to, well, I can, but it's time for us to start making a move, and, you know, so if we got to do loans, apply for loans. My VA stuff is just now getting worked out. So the income that I had, you know, when I started working at Amazon, I never really applied for my VA disability 20 years ago. I should have applied for it. I didn't. So I applied and just now started getting it to go through. And the goal is to get to 100%. Disability. Right now I'm at 60 with them, and so it's helping to replace the income from Amazon, but we are going to need to start as a group going ahead and saying, okay, we're going to apply for this loan to do the housing or to do whatever, and just move that route, and then we can still apply for grants, but I really want to start getting people here. And so that we can start working the land and living on it. And so that's something that we need to discuss in this meeting. As far as where and right now, where are you two at on that matter? Your thoughts? So I will open up the mic for either one of you to comment.
We got to do what we have to do, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Then we will, I will probably not make the next two meetings public because I don't want people knowing anybody's finances or anything like that. So we will still have the meeting in the room, but I won't advertise it. And we will do it in the private room. So that, you know, if somebody does log on, they don't have access to that. And then we will need to start discussing finance and how we can move forward and get this done to where we can move and be on the land. Because some of the things, some of these grants, you know, you gotta be trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're successful or not, you gotta be trying to do it, and then they will come in and help. And so that's the way we're going to move. We're going to, you know, look and see if we can get the whatever type of financing, whatever type of loan that we can, see what we can, you know, look at the housing, whether it is the housing that we have already projected to try to get a final price on that. Or whether it's just shipping containers, or whether it is trailers, whatever it is, we want to be on the land so we can start moving that way. And then we're together as a group, and then, you know, start moving toward more permanent things from there. Because we'll have combined incomes, and would be easier than, you know, I'm paying a house note here and so you're paying a house note there or paying rent and what have you.
Right.
We can combine the income and say, okay, this is what we have to work with and go ahead and move forward. Does that make sense?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So we won't do that this meeting. We will continue in the policies and things like that. But I want to actually start looking at having those meetings no later than, let's say, the first meeting we have, the first week of September. That gives everybody a little time to think about what they can do. And, you know, and then we can go ahead and start trying to do things that we need to do. So it will be the 7th of September would be the meeting that we would start having this on. The month of August, I want to take and try to get some more of my other finances in order so I have a better idea of what I'm working with from, you know, this standpoint, me and my wife. And then who else is coming with us, who is going to commit, because we started off with a certain amount of people, and this is what we're down to right now, but we'll pick it back up, I have no doubt. So we'll start looking at, and, you know, you can start getting your bills together and those types of things, and we can come together and say, okay, this is what we have totally for finances at that time, and that's what we will be committing to, and going to say this is what we have as income to go for whatever loans we're going to go for as a group and see what we can do. And then, you know, of course, that would also have to include, you know, take out provisions for what, moving costs and things like that. Okay, so we will start that in September. But I want us to start talking about it or thinking about it from your end. What does that mean? What obligations do you have where you're at? What do we have to do to get out of those obligations, or if there's anything that needs to be done, so forth and so on, so that we're just not saying we're going to do something and last minute we find out what we can't.
Right.
So, you know, this gives us a month to think on those things and to be planning and then, you know, to come to the table with a firm number from each of us. You know, because between my retirement, my Social Security and disability, my income is going to change. And so what I am doing is still dealing with the VA, trying to get up to 100% disabled, because then that makes all of my retirement and my disability tax-free. Which changes a lot that they're taking, and then you know the disability I never got before, so it's added income, and so you know that's what we're going to be working at, and you know so I've been dealing with the VA. I thought I would have been done by now, but you know everybody's got their little tricks and hoops they want to jump through. Especially when it comes to the government. And so, you know, we get on the land, going to go through the motions on, because we need that to get the other money. Some of the things we are going to be actively pursuing so that we can begin to make a living off the land, so forth and so on. So more to come. But we will start discussing that in earnest in September, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
All right, amen. All right, so what else? Farmers market, as I said, we only got one or two left in this season here because the summer here is just brutal, and people either will not come out or, you know, even vendors stop coming out. And so I'm not going to be really looking for a lot of income from the farmers market for that time period. We will sell what we sell, and, you know, it'll just be money that whatever we sell will stay in the bank, provided I don't need to do anything else with it. And then we will be working in earnest starting in September, you know, to build up the business. And, you know, for the month of August also, I want to spend that time doing some advertising to some chefs, to some smaller stores. It gives me that opportunity to do that and see if I can generate any income that way or business that way. Then look at some other markets that are will be starting back in September other than the Friday one. Friday and Wednesday, but the Wednesday will always be once a month. Friday and Sunday markets, but I think the Sunday markets that I'm involved with are only every other Sunday, and so I want to actually be able to go to market more days than that, than those days, to try to increase the income. Looking at my wife maybe moving toward doing this full-time with me, coming out of her job, because she needs to be, you know, the time to do that. What else? So we'll start talking, because I think what the plan that I want to pursue is we're still doing the glamping, and so but we'll also live on the same land at the same time, and we will grow that as a group, and then as we're able to put you know, the necessary housing on the other land, and we will do that and, you know, keep going, moving forward. So we're not living on the glamping site, but we're living on the permanent land, and the glamping site will become just that 100% as an income generator. So the goal is to get there and just start moving, and once we can say we're on the land, then I think more people will come. I know a few that will come once we're there. People seem to be holding off because we're not actually on the land right now.
Right.
And so, but again, they still have to pass the vetting process. So just because they want to come don't mean that we'll accept them. Even though we're looking for people, I'm still not looking to get into any mess. Because it's going to be hard enough as it is. All right, any questions on that stuff?
No, I don't have any.
All right, section 12.01. Let me pull up this document. Any comments, thoughts?
Yeah, we're going to have to do something to make a move.
Yeah, this time that we do it, and that we just start establishing ourselves there. Let's see here. Let me pull up the last document we worked on. I did create advertisements for local chefs and an advertisement for local grocers, and then a different flyer that I will be handing out at the farmer's market going forward. Okay, so here's the bylaws that we were working on. I will share my screen. Fine. So let me share my screen here. If you will bring it up. Let me know when you have it.
I have it.
I have it.
All right. Let me close this. Let's just read over this. Talking about, and we're going to have to, wait a minute, I'm going to unshare my screen for a minute because I need to move this window in front of me. I got it to the side. I just don't want to read from there. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen and then reshare it. Well, try to reconnect again.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, and do you have it, Sister Mary?
Yeah.
All right, amen. If anybody else has called in. Nope, still just us? Okay, so. All right, so we'll just read this. And I know we tabled this before. Read it, and then we'll try to work this out tonight so that we can move on to the Section 12 member debt contract guarantee. Young adults that grow up in the community having 4 or more years experience in the community are eligible for their own quarters pod at age 20. And must complete the newcomer's orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod. A family that joins with children or young adults less than 20 years old are responsible to teach their children the culture of the community and to ensure they participate in the community activities that contribute to the good of the community. What kind of prayer did you get? Young adults must demonstrate that they are financially responsible, willing, and capable of contributing to the community, both monetarily, socially, fully, and fully understand the culture of the community as far as its philosophies and doctrines. If a young adult is not able to demonstrate financial responsibility, they must have a contract guarantor. A young adult that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantor. So, with these right here, and are you guys able to see that print good enough?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Sister Mary? Oh, but we can't hear you.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so, I think this part for the young adult, we had gotten through this. I don't remember us needing to do anything else with this. So let's just read this, and this is young adult, people who are either coming with young children or teenage children, or those children that grow up in the community. How we expect to handle this. Now the guarantors, if they are young adults, I think what we didn't cover, if they're young adults and their parents are not part of the community, then who's going to guarantee, be a guarantor for them? They would have to have some type of guarantor from someone. So young adults that grew up in the community, have 4 or more years experience in the community, are eligible for their own quarters or a pod at age 20 and must complete the newcomer's orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod. Anybody remember why we
chose if they come with their brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
If they come with their parents and they grew up and they're sitting the parents be the one?
Yeah, in those cases it will be the parent, but what if they don't come with a parent? want to make sure that we stay within the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So in Exodus chapter 19 or maybe before that, remember when the Most High said that they had to walk in the wilderness for 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Who did he say that he was going to, everybody that was 20 years old and older, would die in the wilderness?
Uh-huh.
So that's the reason why we chose 20, because the thing that the Most High used 20 as what, the age of accountability?
Right.
So that's the reason why we chose that. Okay.
So with the guarantees, when we don't have a guarantee, when new people come in from the beginning, right? Some of them are 20, some of them are older than 20, right? So
if they're older than 20, then they should be able to, they have to show their financial capabilities anyway.
Yeah. So if they can show their financial capabilities at age 20, then they should have to have a guarantee.
No, they don't have to. Okay. So we're not saying that they absolutely have to have a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So let's read this. So let's say where we're at right now. Young adults that grew up in the community, having 4 or more years experience in the community, are eligible for their own pod at age 20 and must complete the newcomer's orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod. Everybody, anybody have a problem with that?
No.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What if someone comes and they have an adult that's their kid, that's their child?
An adult that's their child?
Parents come and they come with this adult child that's like maybe, 30 or something. And how do you deal with that?
You turn that fan off. I'm thinking if they're coming with an adult child like that, they're either going to be paying for that child, covering, or there's something mentally wrong with that child. May or may not be. I mean, I got grown kids still living with me, and so. Yeah, but, we would have to, we actually really need to discuss that. Because if they're coming with somebody that's grown, we haven't put a financial limitation on this yet, have we?
No.
Okay. So, Sister Mary, if you're going to bring your grown child with you.
Oh, no, I don't have any children at all.
I know. No, that's what I'm picking at. If somebody's going to come with a grown child, we need to hash this out. That would mean that we need to establish some type of minimum income then.
So what if the grown child, they have to first have the same standards, I'm believing the same standards.
Yeah, we're going to assume that they got the same standards. They're agreeing to live by the standards of the community. Okay? So we're going to make that as an assumption right now. So we're not gonna hash that out. But I'm thinking right now they're gonna have to be bringing a certain amount of income. So we probably need to establish what that minimum is. But we said that, we really need to think about that, because we said that income for everybody is not the same.
Yeah.
And, somebody who only has the capability of $1,000 a month and somebody has the capability of $5,000 a month, we have said that they are equal because they're both giving their all. Everybody remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so if they are giving their all, and it's 1,000, and we agree to let them come, then we are actually taking on that responsibility. If they have a grown child coming and their income is only 1,000 a month, we as a group are taking on that responsibility. Now, we also would have to look at this time, you're saying bringing a 30-year-old child with them, we have to look at whether that child has some type of disability, or whether they're able to work, whether they're able to be trained to do something, what, on the farm, on the land, so they can contribute that way. Thoughts? We're all awful quiet.
Because I'm thinking.
I can see them contributing that way, but everybody's contributing that way.
Right, everybody's contributing that way. Everybody has job or a job on the farm.
Yeah. So then you look at the people with making $5,000, then how would they even look at that?
They have an understanding when they come in, okay, that if they're able to bring $5,000 a month, that's what they're able to bring. That's equal to somebody bringing $1,000. Because what everybody's supposed to be bringing is bringing their all.
So how would we know they're bringing their all?
We really would have to take their word for it, or full financials. Okay. That would be up to the vetting committee. We have the ability to pull financials if we need to. And so if somebody has more than what they're willing to give, then to me that's dishonest.
So they will also be going to work outside of that, right?
They could work outside.
Okay, so maybe in the vetting process, that they're able-bodied, they can work in or outside, in and outside.
Well, let's hold up right there. Everybody coming into the community, no matter how much they make, has to contribute, not just financially to the community, they have to work in the community.
I know. So they work in the community and some work outside the community. So in the vetting process of coming in with a 30-year-old child, right, they have the ability to work at all, then they work on the land, right? But if they also have the ability to work outside the land, they may be capable of doing that as well. That may be something that they could possibly do.
Right, I think we would have to negotiate that with them at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so what Sister Miles is saying is that if somebody comes with a 30-year-old child, we would have to negotiate with them at that time. Everybody coming on the community has to work on the farm in some capacity anyway, doing some type of job, and then those that if they bring a 30-year-old, you're saying a child, but that's a grown person.
That's a mom, this is a child.
No, that's a grown person. I don't want to say what I wanted to say. but that person is grown, then we have to look and see, number one, why are they bringing them? If they're not employed, if they don't have the ability to, if they're not bringing an income at 30 years old, why are they not working? If they're not working, then are they capable of working? So we would have to hash all that out. And again.
Okay, what if they're not capable of working, right? And something happens to the parents.
Then they would have to have part of their paperwork with us, their living will, their power of attorney, things like that we require that everybody have. Okay, so in that they would have to stipulate it, what they wanted to happen to this child, whether they want them to stay in the community and the community is going to take responsibility for them, or whether, you know, they were going to leave the community and go to a relative, somebody, you know, that was their blood that was going to take care of them. Did you understand that conversation?
No, not really.
Okay. What he asked was, what if they're not able to, let's say that the 30-year-old person, and let's say that the family comes and they got a 30-year-old, you call them a child. You got a 30-year-old grown person, male or female, living with them, and they're not capable of working. So let's break this down into different scenarios, okay? The person, the 30-year-old, is not capable of working, okay? If we accept them as a family, then their family is saying, whoever it is, man, woman, husband, wife, are saying that they have enough income, and whatever their income is, we are saying that we're accepting that family with whatever income that is, whether they're bringing $5,000 or whether they're bringing, let's just say, $1,000. If we accept them, then we're accepting that responsibility also as to what community?
Right.
Okay. So then what was brought up was that what if their sponsors, the parents, actually died, and we still have this soul, 31, 32, whatever, and what would happen to them? Because now their parents are gone, and they're not able to what work. So, and what I was saying is they would have to put into their legal documents that they have on file with us what they wanted to happen to this particular child, this person.
Right.
And
okay.
If we wanted them to stay with the community, then the community would have to have agreed to that, because that stipulation has to be done way before it happens. It don't just happen. Okay, and then, or if they wanted that somebody, a blood relative outside the community, but they would have to stipulate in their legal documents what they wanted to happen. And then if they said that they want them to stay with the community, then the community would have to also, what, agree to that?
Yeah.
And so then, again, that's an added responsibility on the community that, you know, I personally think we should take it on for a simple reason. If we were in the world, we couldn't say that we were righteous and men and women of the Most High if we see somebody in need and not help them, capable of helping them. So my personal opinion is that, you know, if they wanted them to stay with the community, then we would, of course, have to become somebody's ministry, because evidently they're not capable of taking care of themselves.
Right.
And so, you know, we couldn't just say, well, people are going to take turns. No, that can become messy too. So we would probably have to have it to where they would be assimilated into someone else's house. And you know, the community would help them out, you know, as far as taking care of, but somebody would have to become the primary care provider.
Well, maybe they will find someone there, you know.
Right. I mean, they could also arrange that way too. They could, you know, become friends with somebody else in the community and say, hey, if I pass or if something happens to me, will you take care of my child? And they make that agreement. Agreement made, then we as a community still have to come up with a solution.
So this is basically the same thing as a person, I guess it would be the same situation as a person in the community that provides to the community, something they become stable or something like that. We still have to take the opportunity to take care of them as well.
Right. And that was a pre-discussed and a given. Somebody that's already a member of the community and they were contributing to the community and something happened to them, they became disabled or whatever, then the community would take care of them. We wouldn't just discard them because they became disabled. So.
I mean, you know, like you said, we just can't throw nobody out.
Right. That wouldn't be very. That wouldn't be very what? Community.
No.
No, it wouldn't.
So yeah, we wouldn't want to do that. We would once we've accepted them and they're part of the community, they're part of the community. And then we just have to adjust. But we have to make it, you know, we have to at least discuss these things, but we have some plan, even if we don't follow that plan, if we have to come up with a different solution. We have at least discussed it and understand that there's something that, you know, this may happen. So, any other grown Negroes you want to bring, Sister Mary?
No, I don't. That was just the one that's not able to take care of itself,
right?
If
they're a grown individual, can't take care of themselves. Now, if they can take care of themselves, then we would expect them to either be contributing financially or working in the community and contributing, correct?
Okay.
And if they're able to work outside the community, that would be something they could also do.
I mean, yeah, that's also a given. We're not really looking for... Well, no, because there's towns nearby or we also have internet. So there's some ability for some people to work remotely.
Internet is limited.
We can get a fairly good internet. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you know it's not what we want to count on. So they would be working. They would get trained in some position on the farm, whether it's with the electrical or whether it's with the water or with the planting. It would become a primary duty for them, and that's what they would be mainly responsible for. And then, we'd have to be looking at, or they could work on the clamping site because that's supposed to be a part of the income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we should have sufficient positions to put people into once we are established. So, yeah, so I think that if they are incapable of working, then the community would take care of them. If their family is not able to, or, you know, where they come, they don't have a family, we agree to accept them into the community with their parents or a parent, it could be a single parent. We agree to accept them in, so we take on that responsibility and whatever they're contributing financially. We've already agreed that, you know, these two people are coming for that amount or what have you, three people. And then if the child is able, the grown person is able to work and there's no mental disability, no physical disability, then we would expect them to work and contribute.
To work, right.
And so, yeah. Does that answer your question, my sister?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. And you know we probably need to put that into the policy as a guideline.
Brother Mark, I have a son.
Uh-huh.
That he got himself twisted up in the system, so he can't get a job. Cause that's the way they make it. They make it so hard for him that they can't get a job. And so they can't do nothing but what they used to be doing.
Right. Well, so he's got a felony is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And they make it very hard for him to get a job.
Yes.
And even if he gets a job, then usually the business owners will try to take advantage of him. Make it where, you know, they expect things out of them that they wouldn't expect out of a person that don't have a felony.
That's right.
And, they miss you. And so they try to take their dignity away from them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand that. Your son.
And I would,
would have to agree to live by the, what, the bylaws?
Right, yeah.
And understand that it's not optional.
Right.
And so I'm sure that we will have other people coming in that, you know, or could potentially come in that same, with that same situation.
Right.
Because a lot of our people have felonies. Now, I would get nosy with you and ask you what his felony was about. You don't have to say it here. But I myself would talk with you concerning that.
Right.
To see what is it that he's done and how, you know, how did he come about the felony.
Right.
You know, if it was something violent, then we might have a problem. Because he has...
No, I want violence. No, I want violence.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying...
He just wants to be the street pharmacist.
Huh?
He just wants to be the street pharmacist.
Oh, well, no, he can push some corn. No, he wouldn't want to get involved in any type of drug activity.
Right, I know.
And he has to understand that. And should it come up as an issue, even though, like, in Arizona, marijuana is legal. But it's
right.
Legal for your personal use. It's legal for recreational use. But still, you know, we would not be representing the Most High if we were involved in that activity and trying to get people to come off of drugs and things like that.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not going against people using it medicinally. Okay. But there is a difference. And. Back when it was illegal, a lot of our people got caught up in going to jail for dealing marijuana. Some of them got caught up for going to jail for dealing harder things, heroin and crack and whatever. They're trying to make the money because they want that life. So they would definitely have to go through a vetting process. My sister, I don't care whose child they were. They have to go through the vetting process and we have to see where they're at, where they are
right.
at mentally and spiritually.
Right.
That's how we would have to approach each one of those situations.
Okay.
Because that, you know, there's a lot of our people. Even after they come into the truth, they still got felons. And it depends upon, for me, and I'm just going to speak for me personally, okay? For me personally, then it's going to be about where they're at in their life. If they are trying to live holy, if they're trying to, you know, if they're coming out of it and they realize the error of their ways and they're trying to, you know, live a saved life
right.
according to the laws of the Most High, and are willing to be held accountable, then I would not be opposed to that. If they are still what I'm going to call streetwise
in the world,
yep, still
right.
in the world, and still want to do that, and then just looking for some place to come,
no.
Then yeah, that's a, yeah, that would be a no.
I know.
But that would be a no. And they'd have to understand that it is break the rules, especially from that standpoint, then you have to go.
Right.
Because then that's taking advantage of everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to talk loud enough so everybody can hear you.
Oh, well, I was thinking about the growing, you talked about growing a crop, and I'm a little off the subject, but I just wanted to have a grow tent.
For what?
Go year round.
Yeah. We will be getting, when we are able to, we will put in we call them high tunnels.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to do the high tunnels because the high tunnels aren't temperature controlled.
No, they have to grow like temperature control
that's a big business. But I'm saying we're not growing in dirt. We're not growing in dirt. Okay. We will if we have to, but you know, those plants that have to grow in dirt, I would rather grow them rather than get in a high tunnel, get an actual greenhouse, because you can control the temperature and grow that way. It's not that much more expensive. And the government will help you get those, or we have to buy it ourselves. So, yeah, they call them high tunnels. They actually call them greenhouse. So it'll be greenhouse. So yeah, we will be growing our own food.
No, I'm just wondering how you're gonna grow. Or
you gotta do like the ants do and do what?
Go
on
the ground.
No, not going on the ground.
You can carry it out, no. You can bury it underground. Underground bunkers like that.
Well, the goal was to actually put a one or two shipping containers
underground.
Right. For storage.
Yeah.
So we would do canning. We would do jarring, that kind of stuff for the for storage. Because you're going to need storage anyway. This is all coming about not to have, even though we're trying to be modern, so that you know this, the crux of this community is for survival. Even before
that,
then.
Yeah.
Okay, so if anything happens, whether we come up under attack or whether, there's no economy, we got to be able to survive on our own. So we want to be 100% autonomous. We won't depend upon the world. Or let me put it this way: we will depend upon the world as little as what. So.
Are we going to be like bartering with other communities?
If they are established. The goal is to start a community and then start another one someplace else. Okay? So we start one, we get it established, we get it, running the way that we want to run it, and then we just duplicate it someplace else. Then those communities can barter between each other or trade between each other, do business with each other.
Yeah.
And eventually, yeah. So it depends upon what we transport.
Marijuana.
No.
No. No. Like whatever you can grow there. Some things you can grow in other places. You can't grow here.
Well.
Indoor.
My goal would not be to start another community. Any place where the winters are either harsh. Like we wouldn't be trying to do something in Minnesota. 20 below zero.
Why not?
Or Grand.
Not like Texas.
I mean, yeah, we would look, but we would have to look in places where it is. Eventually, we want to be everywhere as much as possible. But starting off, that's why I chose the land up there, because the winters are mild. It's only 1 month of winter. Okay, but it's still getting cold. It's cold, but it's only 1 month of winter. Okay. Actual winter where it's 19 degrees or something like that. After that, it starts to warm back up. And it's not hot like it doesn't get as hot as it gets in the wet desert. So it's ideal. No tornadoes. No hurricanes. You get bad thunderstorms. That's why we want the zone. Everything anchored in that kind of stuff. Okay. So where are we at in this discussion?
So with the grown up.
Okay. So Sister Mary.
Yes.
Make a note about the question that you asked.
Okay.
And then just a couple of bullet points concerning what we would do if the child was disabled or whether they were a regular adult, they were capable of working. And I think Sister Denise brought up the point that her son was in a position where he couldn't get a job because he has a felony, and we got a lot of people who are in that, in our, a lot of people among our people who are in that situation.
You
know? So we need to consider that.
A lot of felons have skills. They teach the skills. One guy made things. Like,
yeah, but I don't really care if they got a felony. What I care about is I don't want a murderer.
Or rapist.
Or rapist. Well, that's going to be hard for them to be selling identities.
No. You're living on the land. You don't think about doing other things outside the land.
Well, if they do that, then trust me. If they're doing it on our computers, I don't know.
Then
they get caught. They just go away.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. That one right there. But, you know, if they're rapists, convicted of that, they're murderers, they're armed robbery. Those are the types of things that you don't know what that individual, you know that they're capable of going that far. So if it's some, there's a lot of our people who got charged with felonies that they weren't violent crimes.
Right. Like selling
drugs or doing whatever.
Right.
You know, that can be dealt with. If they got felonies for armed robbery, then, you know, they'll turn around and pull a gun on one of us.
Yeah.
So, it makes a difference what they got charged a felony for. And if it was for anything violent, you know, we would all have to pray on that, and everybody would have to agree. If anybody said no, the answer would be no.
No.
You know, that's just that simple. Because it's just community. And so everybody's responsible for everybody, and everybody's responsible for what's going on and who comes in. Everybody's got to agree to it. Okay. So make those notes, Sister Mary, and then I will write to that and add it into the bylaws, add it into the policy here, and then we will review it again next week to make sure that what I wrote is what, in fact, that what we said and agreed to. But your notes are just to remind me so that when I look at them, then I know what I need to write on. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Paragraph number 2. A family that joins with children or young adults less than 20 years old are responsible to teach their children the culture of the community and can ensure they participate in the community activities that contribute to the good of the community. Anybody have any problems with that?
No.
They got to go to school, but most of their learning, depends upon their age, will be directly by doing.
By doing, but I mean as far as
the commandments and things like that.
Yeah.
They will learn the commandments of God through normal Bible study and things like that. The things that we are enforcing in the bylaws, their parents would be required to teach them that you know, everything that we're doing, there's a scripture to back it up. You can't say that we're coming from, you know, we made up something that is our standard, but it's not biblical.
No,
but
they have to read and know what we're
talking about. Well, that's, come on now. That,
I know.
That's up to their parents to be keeping them from that point. Yes. Yeah. can't read and write, then they ain't going to understand nothing we're saying anyway. Okay, so still, the infant ain't going to understand. That's a non... Then if they cannot read or write, okay, if somebody can't read or write,
they'll be able to understand English.
Right.
Well, you'll understand, yeah.
Then they would have to be taught. They would have to be taught, and we'd have to have some way of assessing if they understand what they're being taught.
But if they decide to be different young people, decide not to be in English, to get a raise,
what about?
Then they have to be equipped to be able to do that, correct?
Yeah, wait a minute. They're going to be educated, okay? We will have schools, we have all that. They will be educated. It will be, for us, it'll be a homeschool type of deal, okay? And as we get more people, then you got teachers that will come, people who like to teach and want to teach the young people, then we will have curriculums that, you know, they're going to be learning reading, writing, arithmetic, and that kind of stuff. Not they're going to be up there and be
illiterate,
yeah. That won't work. Okay. And so their children, they have children, you know, at first, if somebody comes with children, we don't have schools, then the parent is responsible for schooling their kids, or we would have to put them on the economy until we can do it. But we're not going to let our children grow up not being able to read, write, and do arithmetic, or understand history, or any of that kind of stuff. That would be crazy and stupid on our part to do that.
Well, that's how that works. I mean, parents.
As far as community stuff goes, okay. Now, if we are not able to have our own schools, then we would want to enroll them in the, you know,
well,
whether
we internet.
Well, yeah, they could do internet classes or things like that. But if we had to use the local economy, we'd use the local economy. And so we could do better ourselves. I would much rather we teach our own children. But if we don't have that capability, then we have to use the local economy. We cannot grow up and be like, well, I don't know how to read and write because they never taught me. That'd be just stupid as hell. So no, we're not doing that. All right, so paragraph 2. Everybody understand and agree with paragraph 2?
Yes.
Okay. Young adults must demonstrate that they are financially responsible, willing and capable of contributing to the community, both monetarily, socially, and fully understand the culture of the community as far as its philosophies and doctrines. Anybody have a problem with that?
No.
Okay. Now, young adults, again, they should start and be learning these things as far as the laws of the Most High and things like that. I would hope that their parents are already teaching them, but then when they become part of the community, yeah, well, you never know. But
yeah, because I was teaching my grandbaby, and she was only 2, and she was going to class with me.
Amen. Amen. But they would still be required to come to, you know, Bible study and those types of things. Because that's community, that's something that you do together. Everybody coming to Bible study, and as we get more teachers, then it won't just be me teaching. And then even with the women and the children, I am not opposed to a woman teaching other women and children. I'm looking at you like that. I've been looking at you the whole time. Talking about. So, those things can be covered. And, you know, the women need to know the laws as much as what men do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that they aren't capable of teaching other women and children. that in line with the scripture and not you know, be outside the scripture. So that is also an avenue that we will pursue and do. Okay, so paragraph number 3, anybody have a problem with that?
No.
If a young adult, is going to be less than 20 years old, is not able to demonstrate financial responsibility, they must have a contract guarantee. That means that if their parents say they can move out of the house at 18, we said 20, then they're still going to have a what?
Yeah.
A guarantee.
Yeah.
Until they turn 20, their parents are still responsible.
Right.
Okay. A young adult that's less than 20 years old must have a guarantee. So if they are a young adult and they're showing financial responsibility, they don't have to have a guarantee. But if they are less than 20 and they're not showing, if they're less than 20, well, we got to talk about this, but that age limit there. Four and five, now that I'm reading them and thinking about them, sort of contradict each other. If a young adult is not able to demonstrate financial responsibility, they must have a contract guarantee. We got to define what is a young adult.
Right.
It's going to be, because at 18, by you know, there could be something going on in the family. They want to emancipate themselves. Right, but there's nothing saying that they can't be on their own. They can if they're capable of doing it.
Well, if they're capable, then that means they'll need a guarantor. But at the same time, you said 20 years old, so...
Right, that's what I said. We got a conflict here. There's a conflict. We got to, if we're saying a young adult, when does somebody become a young adult? We're saying 20?
Yeah. So, should 20 be the age of the minimum age of someone coming in? Into the community versus someone that's already been there the 4 years that they've been there. You know what I mean?
I think that we need to discuss all that. Okay. If we say a young adult, if we're using five, a young adult that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantee, then we're saying right there that if you're less than 20, you can be on your own. You have to have a what?
Guarantee.
That's what that says.
Contract guarantee.
The only thing you can do at 18 years old, I mean, right now, 18 years, is go in the military, marry.
Well, if you go in the military and can give your life to somebody.
Well, I understand that. But everything else is 21 years of age.
Okay. Well, we're not going to 21.
I know. You're going to 20, but that's the happy medium.
Well, again, read five from there. Tell me what it says.
I can't see it. Hold on. A young adult that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantee.
So what is that saying in and of itself? If you're less than 20, then you can be on your own.
Well, then you should write a young adult who's been in the community 4 years, right, at the age of 18, should have a guarantee.
Well, we're saying, but that's what four is contradicting that.
I'm still a young, well, then you said younger, it put the same thing up there at five, because when you say 20-year-old, the minimum age of entering into the community is 20, right?
On their own.
On their own. Minimum age is 20 on their own, okay? And then you have it 4 and 5, if you want to go to the 18 for the people who've been in there for 4 years or more, considered in the community young adult that's already been there, not coming entering, and you know what I mean? 20-year-olds are who are able to enter, right? The 18-year-olds can be on their own if they've been in the community with their family.
Yeah, so I don't know if we need to say all that.
Well, you can minimize it.
From the reason why I'm saying that is we're already addressing some of these other paragraphs.
Okay, then may not need it as a... Sometimes, like in the Bible, we have the same thing going over and over again.
It don't matter if it goes...
The same thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
It's different.
But no.
Reading the wording differently.
It's already in paragraph number one that be on their own 4 more years of experience. So we got to keep everything consistent.
Okay, 4 more years.
Young adults that grow up in the community, 4 or more years of experience in the community, are eligible for their own quarter pies at age 20. So that contradicts 4 and 5.
Right.
You know,
18 should not even be in at all.
We don't have 18 anywhere. No, I ain't had no. We ain't had no 18 going.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No paragraph
That's right.
So one contradicts 4 and 5 because we're saying that they are not eligible for quarters unless they have 4 or more years. So let's read this again and make sure we don't contradict ourselves. Young adults that grew up in the community having 4 or more years, so they grew up in the community, having 4 more years experience in the community. So they had, so they may not necessarily grew up in the community from infancy, but they have 4 or more years experience, right? In the community, are eligible for their own quarters at age 20. Okay, and must complete the newcomer's orientation training before being assigned quarters. So that's our base right there. When we go to make sure we have one down back. If they, and it says in here, they grew up in the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having 4 more years experience in the community are eligible for their own pies at age 20. So not at age 18. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So does that cancel out 3, 4, and 5?
It might. That's why we got to go back and make sure that they are what, that they agree, and that they don't contradict themselves.
Right.
Must complete the newcomer's orientation. So, age 20, if they grew up in the community with four or more years experience. Okay. Hold on. So then we go to a family that joins the community with children. Or young adults, less than 20 years old, are responsible to teach their children the culture of the community and to ensure they participate in the community activities that can to the good of the community. There's not a problem with that. Because we still stipulate if they're, what, less than 20 years old? Okay. Young adults must demonstrate that they are financially responsible, willing, and capable of contributing to the community, both monetarily, socially, and fully understand the culture of the community as far as its philosophies and doctrines. So, so this would have to apply. 3 would have to apply to being less than 20 years old.
Well,
it
doesn't have to happen.
Because
number one says
20
no matter what.
Right, so we need to reword 3.
Yeah. We got less than 20. Yes. Unless they can marry,
right.
But other than that.
Then so we would be best to save less than 20. Because the parents, they didn't get married at 18. They didn't get married. They're adults. They're not going to be in their parents' house.
Well, is it for that?
Well, let's not add anything in here. Let's try to make it agree, and then we can come up with attenuating circumstances. Okay. Anybody see a contradiction there now?
That does read a little better. Because my understanding is if they're 18 years old and say somebody happened to get pregnant, that's fornication, and
yeah, it's fornication. They weren't married. there's a whole different set of rules for that. If they weren't married, though, then the boy is supposed to go to the father and ask for the girl's hand in marriage, according to the law. So they wouldn't be put to death because they fornicated. If he does the right thing, come and ask her father's hand in marriage. If they're caught in the act, even if they're caught in the act, if she is not engaged, which would be considered to be married, even if she's engaged, then that's a whole other thing. So we'd have to take from the standpoint. If the girl not engaged and she gets caught in the act of fornication, her and the boy, then by the law, if she didn't scream for help, it's assumed what?
It's assumed that she agreed to it.
She agreed. Because if it was rape, she should have been hollering for what? Help?
Yeah, right.
Okay, according to the law. So if it's a young girl, some guy seduces her, then when he has found out, when he has seduced her, then he should come and ask her father for her hand in marriage. So let's open up the scripture on that. We don't say Brother Miles did. Okay. See if I can remember that off the top of my head. I think it's in Deuteronomy. All right, so let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. And let's see if I can just put this on my screen and we'll all read it together. Okay, can you guys take a Bible on my screen?
No, I can see the Bible.
And again. Somebody said they were getting sleepy?
No.
I didn't think so. My wife getting sleepy. I want somebody else getting sleepy.
I see a Bible on there.
Yeah, I just put it up. So, Sister Mary, can you bring it up on your screen as well?
Okay, I will.
And when everybody has it, just say amen.
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 Okay. So let's start at verse 13. Let me make it big so you can see.
Hey, hey. Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
All right, that should be super big right there.
Okay.
Ain't nobody got a problem seeing that now, right?
No, I
right.
See it.
13. If a man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid, not a what?
Virgin.
Her maid is virgin. Okay. Let's make sure of that. No. You can be a maid and not a virgin. A lamb. and this word means virginity. The tokens of a maid, a virgin. So he defines her not a virgin. Okay. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity. Now this is going back to a custom that we for sure don't follow today. Because I don't know nobody that can bring out their tokens of their virginity. Okay. So we would have to go back to this custom on the land with our young women. This is the law. Okay. And the tokens of their virginity, that was done in, you know, I would, you know, the damsel is going to, whose house is she going to? Her mother and father's house? Or to his mother and father's house?
His mother and father.
Her mother.
Doesn't the man supposed to go off and add a room to his father's house?
Right.
And take his bride there?
Right.
So in that process, the bride's father and mother also, there has to be a some type of ceremony, a piece of cloth, a garment, a wedding cloth that is placed in the wedding bed that is supposed to capture whether she was a virgin or not. And that cloth is given to her father and her mother.
Her father and mother.
Her father and mother. They're at his father and mother's house. But the cloth, the wedding cloth, is given to her
father and mother.
Her father and mother. Because who has to prove her virginity?
Her father and mother.
Her father and mother. Okay. Now, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hates her. And lo, he has given occasion of speech against her. He's talking negative against her, right? She wasn't a virgin. Saying, I found not thy daughter a virgin. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. Then that's going to be covered too. Okay.
And they should spread the cloth before the elders of the city.
They should spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Here are the tokens of her virginity. On their wedding night, this says she was a virgin. Now he's saying she's what? Not? And the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him, beat him. Okay, why? And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver. That's not to, you know, bury him in 100 shekels of silver. That is to say he's got to give up 100 shekels of silver. He's got to pay. Okay. And give them unto the father of the damsel, because he has brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he may not do what?
Put her away.
All the days of his life.
So this is saying that he was with her, he didn't like it with her, and showed it to the virgin. They showed them.
He claimed that she was not a virgin.
Yeah, and it showed that she was.
She was.
She was. And then he said, oh, I laid with her. I don't want her anymore because it wasn't what I thought it would be with her.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But he was found to be a what? Liar?
Liar.
So, and he can't put her away ever. No matter what she does. No matter what she does. Now, if she get caught doing something she ain't supposed to do, then that's a whole other thing. But he can't put her away for no reason. She don't cook. She don't bathe. She don't do this. He can't put her away. He may not put her away all his days. That's his wife forever. Well, I can't speak to that. According to the law, he was not able to put her away. He can't divorce her. Okay, because he lied on her. Okay. Now, the bigger thing here is we would have to put those same things in what place? And the young women would have to know that. He probably did see the clock. Still want to say she wasn't a virgin. Maybe he didn't think the family had it. I don't know. But the thing is, if, go ahead.
I was saying read the 21.
Right. Well, 20.
21.
Yeah. If the thing be true and the tokens of her virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones. That she died.
And so, what?
Because she has worked folly in Israel. What did she do?
Yeah.
She played the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. Now that is the law concerning they got married. She said she was a virgin. Whatever happened, her parents didn't get the proof. Now he's claiming she wasn't a virgin. They can't prove it. The law called for her to be what? Stoned to death. Okay, because it's assumed that you haven't been sleeping with nobody and you slept with somebody while you were living in your father's house. Well, then she would have to come to her own defense. Okay, and say, no, we did this before and he married me. And I was a virgin. But in this case, it's saying he can't prove she was a virgin. So she shouldn't have been sleeping with him before she got married.
Right.
It don't matter.
Right.
You can't be engaged and sleep together. They're considered married, but they cannot consummate the marriage until the wedding night.
Right.
Okay. Cannot consummate the marriage until the wedding night. So I come to you and I propose to you, you accept. As far as God is concerned, you're my wife. We're not supposed to come together because we haven't had the marriage yet. Okay? And so I was supposed to go and make ready, make a room, and bring you to my father's house. Now, when you are older than that, then it's not going to happen that way. It's talking about young girls or girls who are still virgins and in their father's house. If they don't have a father, then somebody, her oldest brother or whoever, is going to take responsibility. This is not the standards of the world. This is the standard of God's standard. So if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, okay, then they shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. So if a man be found lying with a married woman, then he's supposed to be put to death and she's supposed to be put to death. But damsel, that is a virgin, be betrothed unto a husband. He's engaged unto who? A husband. And a man find her in the city and lie with her.
And lie with her.
And he shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city. And they shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he had humbled his neighbor's wife. Engaged to him, he's still considered to be his wife. he has made the promise. And ask you gonna go sleep with somebody before he, you know, well, I'm gonna have, how they do it today, I'm gonna have one hoorah before I get married. Scripture says that her and the man are supposed to be put to death. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, so she's engaged, she's in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. She can't, you don't, no, it's not going to be a witness. So she could have been, you know, saying that she could have just said she was, what, forced? In this case, she could have also been, what, willing? There's no witnesses.
Right.
And then she say, oh, he forced me. Then what's going to happen to him? He's going to die. And what's going to happen to her?
Nothing.
She gets the benefit of the doubt. But a damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. Whereas when a man rises against his neighbor to slay him, so rape is considered like murder.
The person
would
die if it wasn't
rape. No, I mean the act of raping somebody, God says, is the same thing like murder. Whereas a man rises against his neighbor and slays him, even so is his death. So when a man rises to kill his neighbor unjustly, he says, when a man rapes a woman, forces her, it's a matter of murder. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel is assumed she was.
Holla.
Screamed. She screamed. She cried. Help! Help! And there was none to save her. So she gets the benefit of the doubt. Now let's look at what we were talking about in the community. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, she's not married. So this could be a young man and a young woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were talking about. And lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found. Then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver. And she shall be what?
His wife. Because he has humbled her.
And what else? He may not put her away. He didn't go through the proper procedures. He took her. She wasn't married to anybody. Then he has to marry her. Now, he could have seduced her. And she agreed. Then they go to his, hey, I want to marry your daughter. I laid with her. She's not engaged to anybody. Then they get married, and she's his wife. He cannot ever divorce her. Okay. That would be what would have to happen in the community in that circumstance. And then it goes into all these other crazy type of, you know, if a man takes his father's wife, I mean, he's sleeping with his stepmother or his mother, then they're supposed to die. If a man still takes his father's wife, his wife is usually going to be his what, mother?
Right.
Or his stepmother. Okay. So it starts going into those types of relationships. Is those things happen, which you're supposed to do. Okay. So we see, everybody understand concerning the damsel that's a virgin and the damsel that is a virgin and she's not, the damsel that's a virgin and she's married. She hasn't consummated her marriage yet. And the damsel that's a virgin that gets, she lays with somebody, she's not married. Then she's supposed to be that man's what?
Wife.
Wife. Okay, he may not put her away. Now, let me see where else this is covered. Is this not the only place. Let me remember. So we'll take it from here, and we'll talk about the community. Young man or young woman or man or woman, they come together. She's not engaged. She's not married. And they be found out, then they're supposed to be what, married?
Oops.
And if he's 18, we can get into some crazy things here, because a lot of people become sexually active before they're 18. A lot of people can become sexually, I won't say active, I'm going to say curious before 18, and then they fall into one of these traps. So we really need to be keeping track of what our young people, and be questioning everything that they do. They can't just do, can't be like the world out here, just doing what they want to do. If you see somebody, hey, where that brother and sister going into the woods for, alone? Somebody needs to go check it out. Why is two brothers going so skipping into your house and y'all out in the field and your daughter's there? Those things have to be brought forth. And we have to make sure, because world sells sex. And this world doesn't care whether you're married or not. It doesn't have the same standard. And when we compare God's standard to the world, then we come up with a whole lot of contradictions. Because I knew girls when I was a teenager, we were 14, 15 years old, and these girls were sexually active. Not all the time. A lot of times you can be, but not all the time. You got girls that can be just as fast as boys. I'm not saying, the only thing I'm saying is this. You can't automatically assume that it's always a man. It's not always a man.
It's not.
Okay. So you can't make that assumption. And the thing is, the Bible gives us our mandate. If he come back and said that he forced her and nobody saw it, then who gets the benefit of the doubt? He does. Okay? Because it's assumed that, hey, he cried for help, nobody heard. He's the one that gets jacked up. Well, he gets jacked up. Why, you know, I can see it in the past, a lot of girls, to put a boy, they could have been just as hot as the boy and put him in that position. Because they understood what the ramification was. Okay. So the boys and the girls have to be taught that this is the standard. Young lady, close your legs and keep them on lockdown until your wedding night. Same time, young boys, don't be trying to humble and sleep with the young girl. Because if you're caught, this is what's going to happen to you. The whole nine yards, okay? Because our society is selling young women and young men, whenever you're ready to have sex, then go ahead and have sex. That's what they're telling them. When you're ready, then go ahead and have sex, whether you're married or not. Because they don't even consider it an act that you got to be married to do. You don't have to have a dowry. If the woman's already been married before, and she's grown, she's on her own, she's not in her father's house, then she makes her own decision. Other than that, if she's in her father's house, and she's still a virgin. Now, if she wasn't a virgin and she'd already been previously married, she moved back to her father's house. I would have to think about that one, because she's in her father's house. If the whole thing would have to be related. The dowry and all that. Asking for her hand in marriage. I think if she's grown, she's already been married before. I could see her father saying you can't be sleeping around because you can't be playing the harlot. So you can't be going through no man in my house. But if she's ready to remarry and she wants to marry, I can't see him saying no, she can't remarry. Especially if the man already knows she's been married before. So he knows she's not a what, virgin? You know, he can't bring that, he can't come with that charge. Well, I married your daughter and she wasn't a what, virgin? And she'd already been married before. I know if it was me, some man came to me with my daughter already been married before, and she's in my house, he asked for her, and he married her, and come back and say she wasn't a virgin, I'd probably slap the hell out of her. You knew she wasn't, dude. How? Get out of my face. So I think where we added in three, adults 20 years of age and older must demonstrate they are financially responsible. Then that handles that. If a young adult is not able to have a contract guarantor, so now we got another problem. At what age do we start considering you not to be a young adult?
20? Well, 25.
I mean, we gotta really think about this.
30.
Heck no.
Well, 25. You know what? They have 20. They have 4 years being in the community. They have 4 years being an adult in the community. You're 25, I think it'd be good.
There's got to be a group consensus. At what age?
Well, I had said 25 from the beginning, but Dow said 20.
So they had to point their ears to be by themselves. They're over with. Now, they come in at 25. That's, you know, people already sometimes put in, they just live life, you know?
5 years old. Your thoughts, Sister Denise?
25 is good.
Now, that's three of y'all. 10, 25. What is the rationale? Because I want a rationale behind it. Go ahead and say yours out loud.
Well, my rationale is if they're in at 20, and the qualification for them to be on their own, being in the community, is 4 years, age 20, then they come in at 20, then young adult is 25. If they come in at 25 and live an adult life, you know, at up to that age, so they pretty much know how to be on their own.
Okay. Sister Denise?
I think 25 is, you've been to have some experience, and so you should be able to be liable.
Okay.
25 because you might be able to communicate with them much better.
Be able to communicate with them much better?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You ever try to talk to somebody that's 20 years old?
Well, starting at 13, they seem to know everything, so...
I can almost overlook them, but 20 years old, they think they're all the way grown. And they're not.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say 24.
Why?
Because we opposite of us.
You may as well give me that other year, 25.
The reason why I say 4 is because we're requiring them to have 4 years in the community.
Right.
So 20 plus 4 is 24.
Well, yeah, but they've been in community for 4 years, but 25 coming in, so it's been 25. We did the 18 at 20, right? We did 18 at 20, even though those 18 years have been in the community for 4 years, right?
Right, but they still can't do anything to the 20.
Yeah, that's true. However, I would say 25, when they come in at 25, then they consider to live.
Then you're not considering them. So 24. But if you're going to say at 25 they're grown.
Well, they got that extra year, the extra bump, you know, the extra bump. 25. Because even the guarantee can drop off at 25. No, don't need a guarantee anymore.
I mean, y'all had already said what y'all wanted, so it'll be 25. I'm just saying 24 because I think 20 plus the 4 years we said they had to have.
Yeah. I mean, I can see you saying that, but I think 25.
They come in at 25, they are grown, as far as y'all concerned, right?
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think they should come in at 24 and be living like that. Probably be it. So.
Okay, so let's run scenarios, okay? I'm 24 years old. You allow me in the community. Okay? Tell me I got to have 4 years experience. Hold on. Let's run the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
That means, technically speaking,
you have to be 28.
28.
Well, and you say 23. 21.
Right.
22. So, you said what age you no longer consider as a young adult. 25. No longer the age of a young adult.
Okay, but they can get their own house at 20.
24. Oh, you said 20.
We're also looking at them no longer having a guarantor, and I think 25 is that age. No longer need a guarantor.
So if I come in at 24, I got to have a guarantee.
You got to have a yeah. Well. Well, okay, this is the thing. People live outside the community, get skills, right? They get skills, they learn things, they can bring stuff into the community that extra they can offer, not just working the grounds and doing other things. They have experiences, may bring some innovative things that could help, you know, because we're there on the land, they're coming in off the land.
Yeah, I don't
know. They have income that they're coming in with.
That's almost being discriminatory.
Not really, because
you got somebody that grew up in the community or came in at 20. They got to have 4 years experience. I'm just running scenarios, okay? Because we'll have to deal with these things. So a 20-year-old, I'm 20 years old. I come into the community. I got a good job. I can, you know, I contribute. I'm just going to play both scenarios, okay? Because we would have to rule on it. I'm 20 years old. I come into a community. I'm responsible, okay? I said, you know what? I make $3,000 a month. I'm willing to bring $3,000 a month. Hold on. And I'm bringing $3,000 a month. We're telling them, I think I still have a volunteer.
Well,
they still have to learn the laws and how things work before they can get up, before they can get out on their own.
So yeah, okay. Ray said something right there. Because if they're coming in at 24 and if it's 28 or 25 and it's 29, they still have to learn 4 years of being in school, right? So they still have to have a 4 years, but they don't have to have a guarantor.
Yeah, see. I think that's not the kind of problem. No, 50-year-olds don't have to have 4 years of community.
Well, 50-year-olds.
No, they don't.
A lot biblical than 20-year-olds can be there.
No. What are you talking about? Only 20-year-olds.
You know what? Over 20-year-olds can be in the problem.
No. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not what we're saying. Okay. That's not what we're saying. Okay. So no, don't do that. Because that's not what we're saying. We never said that.
I know.
We got 20 years old, less than 20 years old. And we got 20 years old and older. But we're not saying 20 years old. Only they can be there.
Well,
don't do that.
Then you can change them to 20 to 25 instead of young adult. Three. Somewhere worded in that aspect. Young adults are considered from age 20 to 25.
So if what I'm getting at is, if we go back up here, because at some age, I'm going to expect that you, if you're petitioning to get into the community, at what age am I going to say that you are capable of understanding the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High?
No matter what, they still have to go through the 4 years of, maybe they don't need a guarantor for that.
So if we say they got to have 4 years of experience in the community, then we are saying everybody coming got to have 4 years of experience. But no, we're saying young adults. Now, if somebody comes 50 years old, just because you're 50 years old don't mean that you know the statutes, laws, and commandments. Are we going to tell them they can't have their own place and they got to have a guarantor if they don't?
We're speaking about new people coming in.
I am talking about a new person.
But what age you don't need a guarantor as a young adult.
But you're also throwing in the 4 or more years experience. Y'all keep saying
okay.
That. Okay.
Okay. So, young adults, even if they're there, they're 4 more years, right? They're 20 years old. They can go out on their own. Someone comes in 20 years. All of them, I'm sorry. One's in the community. They already have to bring in money, right? Bring in income to support the community. If they already have that at 20, they still need a guarantee to prove they can do the work. They already have the experience to learn the laws, the commandments, and the community rules, everything, right? So then a 20-year-old person comes in, can support the community financially, and do work on the land, as we all do. Right?
Okay.
20 years and above.
So I want to interject this.
Okay.
But we haven't talked about this either. What if you got somebody that's 20 years old, been in the community for 4 more years, and their parents won't guarantee them?
They're 20 years old, their parents won't guarantee them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they support themselves in the community, making $3,000, do they need a guarantor?
I don't think so.
Okay. So
what we're trying to do, because we keep using this term, young adult.
Well, then we need to do a bulletin of these things. With the exception of, no guarantee needed if you can contribute yourself, right? No guarantee needed if, however, with 20 to 25 is considered young adult, right? In the community, it's this. Newcomers coming into the community at this age is that.
That's what you guys are saying right there.
What?
Verse number 4.
You got to put it back on the board. It ain't up on the screen no more, Brother Miles.
That ain't my fault. Hold on a second. sharing again. And we'll stop here. That has been...
What was the number three you said about?
Number four.
Four. If a young adult less than... young adult is less than young...
Wait a minute.
What is...
That's a 35.
Okay, now read it.
If a young adult younger than 25 years of age is not able to demonstrate financial responsibility, they must have a contract guarantee.
Okay, so that is what you guys were saying. Right? Sister Mary, Sister Nee, Sister Karen, that's what y'all were saying, right?
So what are you getting at?
I'm just saying.
I'm not able to. Could you move that up some so I can read the rest of it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Younger than 25.
Right. Because if they're older than 25, y'all said that's the age limit is consider them grown at 25. They're not a young adult.
Oh, okay.
24.
Because you have to understand what their mindset is. They could be 35 and don't have that kind of comprehension.
But we're dealing with young people right now. So if they are 35 and they can't just demonstrate financial responsibility, they shouldn't be coming anyway.
Right.
Or they should be getting kicked out because they, you know. So a young adult that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantee. But we can't even say that now. We don't even need 5 now. We already said they got to be 20 to even get a house. Right?
Right.
You said less than 20. I think you said less than, younger than 20.
So this is where the extenuating circumstances come in.
Okay.
Because let's say we got a young couple that is 18 years old that are coming to the community already.
They're a young couple. Living at parents' house and living in the childhood bedroom because they can't afford nothing.
Well, I can't. I'm saying if they are coming and they are still in their parents' house, then and they're 18, surely they're not married.
They probably is married.
If they're still in their parents' house coming to the community, then they will be eligible for their own house. They're married. They must be contributing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always exceptions. You know, I don't know if
they was even taught responsibility.
Most likely, they're 18 and they're married. They probably got a child.
Yeah, not always though. That's a possibility.
My grandmother's time, my aunt get married at 17 because she didn't want to have no kids. The way the baby was getting married at 5-year-old. Maybe older, but yeah.
Those things happen. Still, we just need a framework to go by. I mean, if somebody has been taught financial responsibility, I mean, that could be at age 40, 50.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how we handle that here.
Well, they won't be kind of responsible. They're all community, so they don't have to do anything. They just can contribute.
Yeah, well, you got people who say they're going to contribute, and then they don't contribute.
Contribute the amount they say, probably told them to come back.
Well, that's a different case. Okay, so a young adult that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantee. less than 20 has to be special circumstances. Because number one says it got to be 20, right?
Right, right.
So five has to be special circumstances. So we would have to, I want a generic here because you can't cover every situation.
No, one paragraph is not going to cover every situation. You have to have.
We got four bullets. The fifth one, for the extenuating circumstances, Vi was saying.
Young adult. That's the special stand.
Yeah, we just have to say here, because 1 through 4 are tight. They're tight. This one right here, young adults less than 20 years old, must have a contract guarantee. Well, they can come to the community. Not with their parents, because in the world, 18 years old, they can leave home. So I just want to deal with situations that we could possibly come up against.
Okay. So 25 years old is considered a young adult. 20 to 25, right? So if someone comes in 18 years old, they must have a guarantee. Anyone under 25, let's have a guarantee.
Right now we're saying that. Okay. I'm saying that if this, okay, again, run through scenarios, okay, because this is the only way that I know to think about and brainstorm and cover every situation and then see how we can word it so that no matter what, it'll cover it. You got a young couple that come and they're not 20 years old. They're legally married. Do we tell them they got to have a guarantee?
Yeah.
Who's going to guarantee them? Their parents probably are not members of the community.
20-year-olds come in. By the way, go. They're 20 years old, 18 years old, they're still going to have a guarantee. And, you know, like I said, they're 20 years old, they come in the community, and they guarantee. If they don't have anyone in that community, they can guarantee them. No, family member or otherwise. So they can't come in at all.
Well, that's what we have to make that decision. What I'm seeing here right now is that we can have that situation.
Why do you need a guarantee?
Because we don't know whether they're financially responsible or not.
So the 18-year-olds that are married, and they prove, or 20-year-old, whatever, prove that they're financially, they don't need a guarantee. If they can show that they're financially established,
I think we have that in another paragraph.
Do, but you have to wait until 25 to find another community. You know? If they don't, they can't, then wait until 25, establish something, and come in there at 25.
Yeah, let's do it this way. Let's make it real. Anybody got a relative, niece, nephew, anything that is less than 20 years old, but out on their own?
Yeah.
Okay. And if they chose to come to the community, do you think they would be able to find someone other than you, because it could be you, but, you know, we're using you right now, as a guarantor?
No.
I couldn't find
anybody.
Okay. Would we want to tell them that they couldn't come to the community? They understood the rules and they wanted to live that way.
They see the laws, right? They know the laws. I'm at the community over here, but these are the guidelines, however you want to put it. under 25 years of age.
Exceptions I wouldn't want to just make a blanket statement and say they all haven't been taught.
Okay.
I would say that the vast majority of them have not. But the matter is, according to how we're writing things, if they are less than 20 years old and they are on their own and they want to come into the community, they understand the rules of the community.
As long as they understand the rules, yeah, let them come.
Okay. That's for them to have a house on their own.
But they would come in and have a house.
No, they wouldn't.
What would they do?
They would have to live with a family or something.
How are you going to have to be able to accept?
If we find somebody to accept them.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. You didn't ever say that.
Well, they can't have a house on their own if we say they got to be 20.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is or if we say they can and it's extenuating circumstances, we're going to run into problems in the place.
Yeah.
Okay. Sister Denise, you still there or did you fall asleep? And if you're talking, you can't be heard.
And my lonely. But I will say, I forgot what I was going to say.
We do have the intellectual intermission all the time.
In other words, we forget.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know.
Okay.
Because they can't get a place for their own.
Right, they can't get a place for their own. That would mean somebody would have to take them in.
Right. I would say no then.
Okay. I'm going to say, since we got two I don't know, so I don't know on this either right now. We got two no's. It's a tie. I think we table this one until next week. Wait.
Okay.
Think about it. Because I would not want to turn down a young person that wants to do right.
Right, right.
I would not want to do that.
Right.
Because they have to have a sponsor.
Well, we find a way to sponsor them. I would not want to turn down somebody that wants to do right. That's just me, okay, right now.
Yeah.
They want to live right. They can't find any place else to do it. We turn them down because they are... Be honest, we can
left, right.
No. We have to solve these. So we'll table this until next week. Sister Mary is over there snoring. All right. I make a motion. Sister Mary, what's the last note you took?
That joke.
I recommend that you go back and listen to this broadcast.
Okay.
I make a motion that we table 12.1.5. I think that is 12.1.5. We table that until next week.
Okay.
1 through 4 seem to be pretty solid. 5, we need to really hash out these exceptions and how we want to address it, whether they have to find a sponsor within the community, take them in, or we don't allow them to come in, or if they've been living, grown, and on their own, that they understand what that is, and then they have to understand the rules of the community. That can cause problems, I can see other places, but... we have to make those decisions. So we'll table 5 until next week. Second.
All right. I second.
Okay.
I second.
We got 3 seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. We will pick it up at 12.01.5 on next week. And think about those things. So that we can, quickly if you find exceptions, think about exceptions, write them down and bring them to the table.
Okay.
And it will, you know, I think the first thing we have to do is say whether we're going to let them join or not, whether they found a sponsor within the community, or we let them go on, join as an emancipated person at 18 or whatever. We got to make that decision then, or we say, no, we're not going to let them come. And then we can do the exceptions from that.
Okay.
If needed. Okay. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. And not love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. We'll see you guys on tomorrow for Shabbat.
I love you.
Sabbath peace, family. Or Sabbath peace. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Which 12